Can I just testify for just a moment that God is faithful? He knows where we're going before we know where we're going. I sat here and I was singing along with you, and Zach and I don't sit down. I trust that Zach is listening and seeking the Lord when he chooses the songs that he sings. And then I get to worship on a Sunday morning, and I'm going, God, that works with the sermon. And God, that works with the sermon. And I'm just so thankful that that works with the sermon. And I'm so glad that God knows what we need. Have I already told you that the Lord knows who you are? Whether you have a relationship or not with Him, He knows who you are. So let's talk more about that. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, when you get there, you're going to pick up right where we left off last week in verse 27. Luke chapter 5, picking up in verse 27. If you're using that Pew Bible right there in front of you, it's on page 1185. Actually, verse 27 is in the bottom right-hand corner of page 1185. So while you turn there, just let me introduce you. Angela and I have been playing a new game on our phones. And you're going, Jeff, you play games on your phone? Like you don't. Now, I might be getting ready to catch up with you. Go, oh, I played that game. Or you might be going, I've never heard of that game before. But used to be that we, before we actually even get up, we've solved Wordle. Anybody play Wordle besides Angela and I? Okay. Three people. Okay. But then we picked up another game, and so we play this game, and it's called Connections. Has anybody heard of Connections? Same three people. It's a game where you're given a box of 16 random words. 16 random words, and then you are to be able to define which four words of those 16 should be grouped together, are connected together. And there should be four-word groups connected together out of that 16. Everybody understand what I'm saying here? And so you get this grid of 16 words. Let me give you an example. This was from Wednesday. Within my group of 16, I saw the word hangar, runway, tarmac, and terminal. That one was pretty easy for me. I go boom, 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 hit the submit button, and it goes, you're right, because those are all things part of an airport. Everybody get that? Then there was a second one that I'll give to you. Same game, four words, action, claim, complaint, and lawsuit. And all of those, the connection I picked that up were, they were legal terms. And so in this group of 16 words, you're going to find four that are connected, four that are connected, four that are connected, and four that are connected. And if you do that before you run out of your four mistakes, you can actually win the game. So I made one up for you. Now, just four words. So these four words are connected. I'm not giving you the rest of them. But I made up four words for you. I just sat here and did this Wednesday. Jeans. I lost my place here. Relationships, tire, like a car tire, and a wall. Jeans, relationships, tire, and a wall. And some of you are giving me that look like, Jeff, I'm gonna need some help. I'm thinking about it. These four words would be in a group of 16 words given to you, and you need to find their connection. I'm gonna go ahead and give you this one so you don't just go, I'm not hearing anything else you said. But jeans, relationships, attire, and a wall are all things that can be patched. Okay? Now, think about it. You're going, okay, I get that. You can patch all of these things. And if you would have gotten that, you could. It's a cool game. You may want to give it a try. You may not. We only have one rule at our house. You get to guess these four things, and you get four mistakes. We don't let each other fail. So if Angela comes to me, sometimes she said, I'm down to my last guess, and I need a hint. Or I need a hint. We'll give each other hints. We won't give each other the answer, but we try our best not to let each other fail at this game, making the connections, because failing is just not necessary when you have somebody else in your life that can help you. So let's stand and read together. You're going, Jeff, that's the weirdest introduction I have ever heard. All right, let's read from Luke chapter 5, picking up in verse 27. Reads as follows. After these things, he, that would be Jesus, went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he left all, rose up, and followed him. Then Levi gave a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And their scribes and their Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Then they said to him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink? And he said to them, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, then they will fast in those days. Then he spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece of a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new garment makes a tear, and also that piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine in old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. So thank you. You may be seated. Keep your scripture up if you're a note taker. Get ready to take some notes as the Lord lays something important on you. I know I learned a lot studying this week. Verse 27 starts off by saying, after these things. Now, in the way that the mind of Jeff works, I tend to see that after these things, the things that had just occurred that we ended up with in verse 26. If you remember last week, Jesus was meeting, we think it's at Peter's house, and the crowd was great, and the scribes and the Pharisees, first time showing up to hear Jesus, sitting in front. These friends came to bring their paralyzed friend. Remember this story, right? And they can't find a way in, so they lower him down through, and Jesus forgives his sins. And we talked last week about how our greatest need is our sin need. We talked about that. And then how Jesus, in order to combat the scribes and the Pharisees, ended up healing the man as well. So when verse 27 says, after these things, we're exiting these verses, and Jesus is continuing to move on. Verse 27 says that he went out, that he would be Jesus, and says that when he went out after these things, he saw a tax collector, and Scripture tells us that this tax collector's name is Levi. Now, other places in the gospel, we understand that this is also Matthew, the disciple. Isn't it interesting? Jesus had picked some fishermen. We talked about that two or three weeks ago. And now he's picking a tax collector. And Levi, when Jesus went to see him, was at work. Verse 27 says that he was sitting at the tax office. Think about it for a moment. Jesus, when he called Peter and Andrew and James and John the fishermen, he called them on the seashore. And now he goes and calls Levi and he goes to the tax office. For multiple times already today, I've been reminded by God that Jesus knows who people are. And he knows where to find those people. And Jesus goes to them. Now, church, I just want to tell you that I think it is pretty cool about Jesus seeking out Peter and Andrew and James and John. I think it's pretty cool that Jesus is seeking out Levi or Matthew, which I may slip and call him as we move forward. I think it's pretty cool that Jesus does that. He goes where they are. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11 says this, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. Luke 19, verse 10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Can I tell you today that if you claim to know, and I'm not questioning your claim, but if you are saved, if you know Jesus as your Savior today, There is a 100% certainty that the reason you know Jesus today is because he sought you out. Isn't that awesome? That he knew you had a need, and he sought you out. Through the movement of the Word and the movement of the Spirit and using people in your life, he sought you out. And again, Scripture reminds us that Jesus went to Levi. And verse 27 says that he initiates a call on Levi's life. He says, "Follow me." Now, I did a little reasonable just check in my own mind and my own thinking as I'm studying this. I don't just come up here and say, I just did this morning. I've been studying it all week, and so you have to get to certain points of being able to understand things. So Levi, we're told in Scripture, is sitting at work. He is a tax collector. He's working for the Roman government, and therefore Israel believes that he's working against the people of Israel. We've heard enough about tax collectors in this day and time to understand that they were considered pretty low on the popularity totem pole, and they really weren't liked at all. They were considered traitors in their own land. We also know that tax collectors were considered fairly wealthy in those days. They owed the Roman government a certain tax. They would have an area that they would be responsible for providing the tax to Rome. But when they did that, they were given the freedom to collect whatever they wanted, as long as it was at Rome's need or above, and that they could keep the difference. You remember Zacchaeus, tax collector, also a wee little man, but he was very rich. Therefore, he was very hated. We can also assume that since Levi worked in the public sector of town, that he likely was one of those people that had heard about Jesus, had heard Jesus's teaching about his healings, about his claims. Perhaps Levi had even been challenged in his heart by what he had heard Jesus say about his life choices. Perhaps Levi had even attended some of Jesus' teachings. Perhaps Levi had gotten to a point in his life where he just was not comfortable living the life that he was living. We can also assume that Jesus knew Levi, that Jesus had been speaking to Levi either directly — we don't know that they haven't had conversations along the way — or we don't know that Jesus wasn't speaking to Levi because, as part of the crowd, the Lord is speaking. You know, in this moment right now, the Lord is speaking to me, but you know what he's also doing? He's speaking to you. And the Lord has the ability to speak to us right where we need to be spoken to. And I think that's pretty cool, because it says Jesus is seeking us. He knows us. He calls us by name because he knows the very specific thing that you are walking in, needing, or being challenged by right now. Perhaps Jesus had seen Levi repeatedly, but we do know that Jesus made a point on this day to go immediately to Matthew Levi's place of work, the tax office. Now, there's not a lot of detail given, but I believe it is reasonable for us to recognize that this was not some kind of chance meeting where all of a sudden Jesus just walks up to Levi and says, "Hey, follow me." I think that would be too simple. It would not allow us to understand Jesus' seeking, and it would not allow us to understand Levi's challenge in making a decision to follow Christ. And Jesus said, as we read, "Follow me." Church, following Jesus is never a chance meeting. He sought you out. And following Jesus will always — I wish I could tell you different — but following Jesus will always carry a cost. Letting go of life as you know it, surrendering your life to Christ. When I see this, when I read about Jesus seeking me and then me having to pay a cost, to me, this is a little bit like, I accept Jesus as my Savior. He sought me in my sin need, but I'm also allowing him to be my Lord. He gets to tell me what to do and how to live. Verse 28. So he, that would be Levi, left all, rose up, and followed him. Church, you get that? Levi, right then, right there, heard the call of Jesus and chose to respond. And that's why I needed to take the time to understand that there's a lot more working in this, because I don't think that Jesus ever just shows up unannounced and drops a bomb on your life. I think that he's been seeking and laying the groundwork and bringing you to a point of the call in your life. Now, when I hear about something like this, it causes me to go back and think about the call that the Lord placed on my life. And I can remember that day in October in 2010, and I walked in the next day and quit my job. I'll tell you what, as I mentioned 3 weeks ago, I think in the sermon, we've not found the bottom of the boat of the blessings of God since that time. But it came at a cost, a decision, a choice to be made. And I am not the only one. All of us will face that. But we must ask, when faced with all of this, and Jesus comes up to Levi, and all we're given is, Levi, follow me. And Levi leaves it all. I think it's fair for us to ask the question, why would he do that? Why would Levi leave it all? Best I can come up with is because he, Levi, knew that following Jesus was the best thing his life could be consumed doing. You hear what I just said? We make decisions like that. Why do we do the things that we do? Because we believe they are the best things for us in that moment, and we can't make Levi any different. And so when Levi leaves it all, he's saying, I believe that by following Jesus, by leaving it all, by quitting my job, by changing what I do, I believe that this is the absolute best thing for me, that there is nothing worth more in my life than me yielding to Jesus. Church, what is keeping you from leaving it all? From following Jesus? Not just making a claim, but leaving it all, following him. I mean, really committing to him. Because we've been faced with this a lot in Scripture. I believe your answer, same as mine, if I'm not following this, must be pretty simple. The reason you're not choosing to leave all and follow Jesus, regardless of what you feel his invitation is because you must believe that the life you currently have is worth holding on to. Right? Because if you really believe that Jesus' call on your life was that life-changing, was that good for you, you'd be crazy not to let it all go right now, right? And so the reason that we struggle with letting it all go, and believe me, I know we struggle with letting it all go because I have struggled with letting it all go. But the reason we struggle with letting it all go is it comes down to us thinking, I believe my way is better. Because if you believed that Jesus' way was better, you'd leave it all. Just let that sit there and soak for just a second. Matthew got put in that position. He said, Levi, follow me. And it was D-Day for Levi. Lord been working on him, I believe, up to that point. But it was D-Day, and he made that decision, and he left all. I believe that what Jesus offers for us is the best way for our lives to be spent. Verse 29 says, then Levi. So Jesus has left the event, gone to see Levi, asked Levi to follow him, and Levi follows him and leaves it all. And then we get to verse 29. Then Levi, fresh off his decision to leave all and follow Jesus, Levi threw a great feast. Now, if you go back and look at verse 29, look at what it says. It says, then Levi gave him a great feast. When you read this, church, this is not a retirement party. Matthew is not throwing a party for himself because he's retired. This is a thankfulness party. He is throwing this great party in honor of Jesus. He's now going, everything is better in my life because of Jesus. This is a, would you join me in celebrating Jesus party? This is the best thing that's ever happened in my life party. Then Levi gave him a great feast. Jesus was the purpose of this great feast. And Levi opened his own house and invited many, it says. Verse 29 goes on to say that many showed up. And a great number of tax collectors and others who sat with them. Now, let's stop at the surface level. Levi invited, and they came. Pretty cool, right? You might be here today because somebody invited you. I feel like 2 or 3 weeks ago, we've been talking about this. Church, let's invite. And many, many came to this. Levi invited, and they came. Now, we can assume that the reason Levi had so many tax collectors in attendance is that his friend group looked a lot like him. Have we heard that statement, birds of a feather flock together? You know, when you're not thought of very highly, when you know, you were going to group together here, and these tax collectors, they probably all got together, and they were each other's friends. And so it makes perfect sense to me that when Matthew invites people, he invites people that he knows, and who he knows are tax collectors. I think this is a great reminder to us that the people closest to you are the people that you should first target to invite to your let's celebrate Jesus, what he's done in my life party. Those are the people that are of your feather, birds of a feather. These are people that you know, people that, I'm not saying that you should exclude, but I'm saying if you're not willing to invite those in your closest circle to understand what's really happened in your life, you're not going to reach out to the others. Makes no sense. Verse 30, we got an ex-tax collector throwing a celebration party for Jesus, inviting many, and tax collectors and other sinners are all gathering together. And then our friends, the scribes and the Pharisees, complained. Look at verse 30. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? They complained to Jesus. They said, why are you hanging around all of these bad people? Now, it's interesting. Look at least in the New King James, it says in verse 30, and their scribes and Pharisees complained. These scribes and Pharisees seem to have taken a position of oversight in their lives. Whether they are do it or not, they are the ones complaining. They are the ones that have decided who is worthy and who is not worthy and who is a sinner and who is not a sinner. There. And church, we've got to work really, really hard that we don't become people who all of a sudden decide the classifications of people. We need to be people who are like Matthew, who come to know Jesus, our lives are changed, we let go of everything, and then we invite the people around us to come and understand more about Jesus. That's the kind of church we need to be. We are the broken inviting the broken. We are the saved inviting the hopefully to become saved. We are the people that are yielded, praying that people will become yielded. Jesus gives them an answer. He said, why are you hanging around with all these sinners and these bad people? And Jesus answered in verse 31, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Verse 32, Jesus says, I'm not calling the righteous, I have come to call sinners for a specific reason, and that is to repentance. Jesus is saying that he came for a specific purpose. So I want to go back. You don't have to go there. I'm there right now. But we read in Luke chapter 3 just a few weeks ago, Jesus' statement. Remember, he was in the synagogue, and he stood up to teach, and they gave him the book of Isaiah, and he went to this specific chapter in Isaiah, and then he talked about who he was and why he came, and he sat down, and that offended everybody. Everybody remembers that sermon, right? Just nod, even if you don't remember, just nod for it. It makes me feel a whole lot better when I study all week, okay? But here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. He said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled and every mountain." Nope, wrong one. Hold it. No, that's right. "Every valley shall be filled and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough way smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." That's what John said about him. Then when you come to Luke chapter 4, Jesus said this about himself in 4:18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus said, my whole purpose for coming is to meet with people who have needs. Jesus said, I came for a specific purpose, to build relationship with people in need due to their sin nature. Remember from last week, our greatest need is our sin problem. So watch this. They've now been challenged by Jesus. Look at verse 33. They immediately go on the defensive. "And then they said to him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours, they just eat and drink like nothing's happening?" They're changing the subject. Did you catch that, church? Let me give you a just paraphrase of what they just said. Jesus had just said, I came to call sinners to repentance. They changed the subject, started talking about fasting and prayers. You know what they're saying? I'm not sick. We're not sick. You go searching all of them you want to, but we're good. We're not sick. Do you know until you recognize you're sick, you won't go to the doctor? Do you know until people understand their sin need, they will not turn to Jesus? I was reminded by a young lady that we each have a sin problem, a problem that leads to death. And if we do not seek help through Jesus, we will forever miss God. And so I'd like you to take a look at this 60-second video on the screen. Go ahead, guys.
Are you going to eat that food or you will die?
Who did what?
God told them, Adam and Eve, to not eat the fruit. And he said, you will die after that.
After eating the fruit?
Yeah, the purple fruit.
The purple fruit?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they died.
They died?
Yeah, Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They ate the purple fruit, and Satan said yes, and Jesus said no.
Oh, uh-huh.
And
then what happened?
And then Adam and Eve ate the fruit.
Oh.
That was super bad.
It was super bad.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Miss Rebecca.
Uh-huh.
Told me that.
Miss Rebecca told you that?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Steve's at church.
Miss Rebecca at church told you that?
Mm-hmm.
That's a cool story, isn't it?
We can talk more about that tomorrow.
We can talk more about it tomorrow. I think that's a great idea.
Mom's already inside.
I need to go two directions for just a second off that video. I'll get back to that video where we were. That's my granddaughter. And she was just a little over 3. That was October. If you work with children, if you're raising children, if you keep childcare, if you teach Sunday school, you're touching lives. You get it, church? That three-year-old, you know what she said? Miss Rebecca at church told me that. And so if you're going, I'm so tired. I don't know if I'm ever getting through to these kids. Let me tell you, you're getting through to them. I want to encourage you. This is a great opportunity. Let me tell you, our church is growing in our children. I walked in here, and Lucy, I did a terrible job. I was trying to, they were lined up. Church, they were lined up turning kids into our childcare area. That is a blessing. You know what we need? More people willing to work with kids. We have a little bit of a Sunday school need in our youngest of children. We got a lot of them. And if you don't increase your teacher base, those lot of them don't get to be impacted for the gospel. And so, church, I'm just going to tell you right now, you got that worship register in your hand. If the Lord is laying something on your heart that says, I'll give an hour every 8 weeks just to be in childcare. Or, here's a specific need. We have two-year-olds that are outnumbering our teachers' ability to handle them. We need to split them. You know, in order to split them, you know what you have to have? At least two more teachers. I just want to tell you, that video reminded me how precious you are when you teach children at any time we gather. Parents, you have a great responsibility. Stay after it. Church, we need to step up. As God grows our family, we have to step up. And so if the Lord is encouraging you to either stay strong at leading children, or maybe begin to jump into leading children, let me know. But back to this young lady. Church, can I tell you that we've all eaten the purple fruit? I can see Miss Rebecca teaching this already, and you know, every picture they show, there's fruit. This probably was like a eggplant-shaped purple fruit hanging on a tree. I don't know what it was. But my granddaughter understood. Satan said, yes. And Jesus said, no. And they ate the fruit and they died. And God loves you so much that even though you ate the purple fruit, he sent his son Jesus. He sent his son Jesus to seek you out. And if you're here today, you are not here by accident. You might go, I am, but you're not. I believe in a sovereign God who's providential in all that he does, and he has this just for you. But if you've been here every Sunday for 13 years, I'm here to tell you that this message is for you. Jesus came because there's a need. People have eaten the purple fruit. And church, if we don't deal with that need, if they don't deal with their need, they will die. Physically, yes. Eternally, more important, yes. We all have sinned and need a Savior. And that's what's so cool about Levi throwing this feast. He came to meet Jesus, and his first reaction was, I got to tell everybody I know. Now, everybody I know is a bad guy. Even better, they need Jesus too. Yeah. Now, some of you might say, I don't know any bad guys. Everybody I know is a Christian. You need to get out more. If you don't know people who don't know Jesus, you must meet more people. We have never been called to come in, solidify our nuclear family and go, we're all in, and then we sit down and wait for the ride to end. That's not what we're called to do. Let's throw a party. You guys with me? If you know Jesus, You should not be able to keep your mouth closed. You should be ready to invite and have a party and tell people what Jesus did in your life. Jesus will take care of everything else. You don't need to change people. You don't need to attack their challenges or their needs. You need to love them. You need to tell them how you feel, what Jesus did for you. Throw a party about it all, and then trust the Lord to seek them out and change them. You know what Levi's saying? He says, boys, I used to be sick, but I met Jesus, and now I am eternally well. That's good stuff. His friends heard his testimony, had their opportunity to hear from Jesus. Levi desired for his friends to come know Jesus. Verses 36 to 38, Jesus tells them a parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Let me tell you a paraphrase. He says, you cannot patch. Hold it. We talked about that before. You cannot patch old jeans with a new patch. I tried. I remember I was a little kid. We had patches because, see, patches are cool now. Or at least it's not been too long since they're cool now. Patches weren't cool when I was little. That just meant that your jeans were worn out, but your mom and daddy weren't ready to replace them yet. You got new jeans when you outgrew them, not when you outwore them. But you can't patch old jeans with a new patch because it'll come apart. They just won't stay together. He went in and said, you don't put new wine in old wineskins. The old wineskin's going to burst during the process of fermentation, and both the wine and the old wineskin are going to be lost. But Jesus says, but what you can do is put new wine in new wineskins, and everything works well. And you're going, Jeff, what does that mean? Let me give you a little bit of a hint. Ezekiel 36, 26 might be a good thing for you to write down. Ezekiel 36, 26 says this, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and you shall be clean. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Jesus says, you come to me, you trust me, and I'll take care of your purple fruit problem. I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Jesus is seeking to tell the Pharisees, you are sick. You need a new heart. You need forgiveness. You need a new beginning. But what he's also telling them is, if you keep believing, you're not sick. If you keep believing that you didn't eat the purple fruit, if you keep trying to make religion important and allow sin to happen, you're going to be lost forever. Verse 39, it says it requires a change. We have to let go of the old to be able to grab a hold of the new. When the Lord called me into the ministry, you know what I couldn't be anymore? I couldn't have the job that I used to be doing. I had to had a new job. And I lost a lot of things. But man, what I gained cannot be compared to. Church, if you are grappling right now with, man, I really just want to let go and trust God. I know He's calling me to do something specific, but I just can't let go. Let me tell you, if you let go, and God is calling you to let go, and you follow Him fully and completely, and you set down whatever it is He wants you to set down, or you stop doing whatever it is He's calling you to stop doing, or you start doing those things He's calling you to do, I promise you one day, you will throw a party and tell people all that Jesus did in your life, because it'll be that clear and that worth it. Levi met his Savior, and then he made much of Jesus, and he followed Jesus. Church, have you chosen to follow Jesus? not just as Savior. That is important, and I'm not diminishing that. But if you'll realize, Levi accepted Jesus and then allowed Jesus to tell him what to do, Savior and Lord. And the way I read Scripture is, people who allow him to be Lord, that's proof that they've come to know him through salvation. So I want to encourage you in that way. Do you make much of Jesus to the people around you? Because, to tie this up in a nice little bow at the end, you can be used by God to help people make the right connection. The only connection that ever needs to be made. Jesus. Amen? Aren't you glad that Jesus solved your purple fruit issue? And I am so thankful for you again if you work with children. And I'm so thankful for you that are getting ready to tell me, Jeff, the Lord's been telling me I need to work with children, so here I come. But what I want you to do more than anything is follow the calling of Jesus on your life.